surely gives us grace to live in a time like this, but we need more of his grace. Isn't that right? So in relationships, the devil doesn't really care where he attacks you, as long as he can attack you somewhere so that he can get you out of God's will. And in relationships and sex before marriage, all that stuff is quite a big hole that our youth is falling into. And we want to help you guys. Amen. All right. There's two scriptures that are not up there now, and I'll just read them to you quickly from my phone. I just need to get to the English version. Ephesians 4:30. I won't read that one now, but it says that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And then in brackets, the Amplified would say that day of redemption, it calls us, it says our final deliverance. So it speaks about we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit for our final deliverance, day of redemption, when either Jesus comes back or when we go to heaven, if you die, whatever. But the emphasis I want to put on there, I'm preparing you for the sermon. It says that our final deliverance comes when Jesus comes back or when we meet him. That means we've got deliverance, if you want to call it like that, up to then. We go through a stage, we go through a process where Christ delivers us from now until then. So, in other words, it means we're never perfect until that day. We won't be perfect. We can always learn. We can always change until that day. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 19, it reads, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." So scripture here also tells us we'll never know the full picture. We'll always know some part of it, not the perfect part. And the reason I'm saying this is today's message, I think, is a bit of a, it's tough. But it's something that I'm going through. But I had to come to this place in my life this week where I said, okay, you know, I don't know it all. Yeah, this word is actually for me, not some Christian that's only a week old. It's for me. And I just want you to receive the word in the same spirit, okay? Is that we don't know everything, we know in part, our final deliverance will come, so that when we hear stuff like this, or that we'll just always be open to change and to repent, to come before God humbly and say, yes, Lord, please change me again. Because if we know Christ for a while, we serve him, then we sometimes come to church, and I think this is pride, and I'm talking to myself, we come to church and we say, yeah, but I know it all. But that's not good. That's not a good place to be. Because then you don't receive the word. Are you with me? People pray. Is that the east wind or a southwest wind? Is it southwest? Is it cold or hot outside? That's what I'm asking. Because I know the English service also gets hot. Hopefully hot in another sense also. But anyway, so I just want you to prepare your heart to receive this word today with that, Lord, I don't know it all. Please just help me. Change me if you need to change me. Now, I call the sermon Way Less. Who of you know these diet programs? I don't understand those things. They can be so contradicting. You get the one way. You can Google. I guess you get all kinds of diet programs. The one you only eat this and don't eat that. I know you get a protein one. Huh? Is there a protein diet? You only eat protein, you may only eat steak and chops. I'll go for that one if I have to ever diet. And you don't eat any, what's it? You don't eat vegetables. That sounds a bit, anyway, it sounds weird. It sounds like something my wife would say I shouldn't do. anyway, we're not talking about that way less, okay? That's why I just want you to relax. We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about this. Hebrews 12 is one. And the scriptures are not on there. Sorry. Maybe I'll do it next time because I realize it's nice to see a scripture up there to meditate on it. So I'll read slowly. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the way less that I'm talking about is this portion of the scripture that says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily. And sin which clings so easily, I just want to explain again, what does sin mean in this case? Sin does include all the bad things we're not supposed to do. We shouldn't steal, the Ten Commandments. That's part of sin, but the definition of sin in the Bible is, I always use this example, as a dartboard. You throw darts, and God's plan for your life is the red dot, the bull's eye. That's what he's made you to do, to accomplish. So sin would be anything outside the dot. It could be you're not drinking or, it's like not obvious sin that we're doing, but we could still miss the bullseye. That's sin, missing the mark. So just read the scripture like that. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So the way less that I'm talking about is something that God's been talking to me about since Tuesday morning intercession, is that I just had a sense that I didn't want to call this sermon Die Daily, but that's I'll get to that scripture. But there's certain things in me that needs to die. There are things in me that need to die. Don't say amen now. What I want you to do is today, as we go through this sermon, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, to what He's saying you must lay aside. Let's not use the word die. But what is the things that He says you should lay aside? What is the things that entangles you, like the scripture says, and sin which so... Where is that word? I missed it. But that sin that entangles you, that holds you down, I want you to listen today and be open to God to speak to you and say, what is the thing that you need to lay aside? What is it He's talking to you about? And how I knew that I believe that this is from God is I helped Stephanus with his youth cell group on Wednesday, and I talked about a whole lot of things, and right at the end I just asked this question, a couple of questions, what is it that you need to lay aside, and I asked everybody, and they just started sharing, and then I realized, okay, well now God is here, He is talking about this, because it just happened spontaneously, and I said, yeah, but I need to do this, and so I really think it is from God. John 3 verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. That is so, thank you. That is so true, and maybe more true in the church context that we in a Western world has or whatever. If you go to, where are these prosecuted countries? Thailand, I think. And so on, where Christians are prosecuted, this message almost takes a whole new level when you go there. But I must decrease so that Christ can increase. So we must just, at a place like this where it's comfortable to preach God and it's comfortable to share what we have, not lose the essence of the gospel, not lose that purity of the gospel, where it is that, but it's a Jesus, it's a God that died for me. He gave His whole life for me. And when I give my life to Him, He asks my life. I must decrease so that Christ in me can increase. Are you with me? And it's difficult, but that's fine. Jesus died for sinners like me, so I'm not worried. I don't have to be perfect. I shouldn't be ashamed, I guess. Or when God lifts up, when He shines a light like a strobe light into your life and He shows you a sin, how do we sometimes react? Sometimes we're like, ah. We must get beyond that. We must get to almost say, Lord, show me the next thing so that I can get rid of it, so that You can increase in my life. Not this fear that we want to run away from Him and what is he going to show to us. People always say that, and it's very true. They say if God has to open up your heart completely and show you what me, who I am truly, I'll be ashamed of who I am, even if I can preach, because there's such ugliness sometimes in our hearts. But that's fine. Jesus died for sinners like me. I'm righteous not because of my deeds. I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansed me. That's why I can go into heaven. I can go do it boldly. Not because Steve is wonderful, but because he's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Christ reveals things like this to us, we should almost embrace it rather than run away from it. I think I should have said that in the Afrikaans service, because the people walked away there, but they looked, I don't know. Hopefully I didn't chase them away. But this, be happy about what God is doing. Embrace what he is doing. Why is God doing this? He wants to... No, before I get to that. Philippians 3 verse 7 to 12. And this scripture, I really... Go home and just read this scripture slowly and meditate on this portion of scripture. It convicts me. It convicts me left, right, and center. I can't get away from it. But whatever gain I had, Philippians 3, 7, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. I'm completely and utterly challenged by that scripture, and I'll tell you why. Because I remember when I got saved, I'll have to share this story again. I was at varsity, and a man running around doing all the things that the world can offer you. You know, parties and all that stuff. But it was, one day I was standing in our residence, I guess after a weekend of party again, whatever it is. I'm not bragging about my parties. And I just stood there empty. And I thought, what's this all about? You know, are we going to do the same thing next Friday? And what's it? I don't want to do this anymore. It doesn't work for me. So, and somebody that was living with us on that floor of the residence came to me, and I don't know how I started talking to him, but he said, he just told me about God. But now, not as if I don't know about God. I grew up with knowing God. But he opened up something to my heart that there's more, there's God. And after that, I gave my life to Christ. But you know what? And this is, I counted everything as rubbish when I met Christ. Because of the depths that he took me out of. Not so terrible depths. But just, he took that person with no purpose, no direction, all that nonsense. He took it out and he said, I give you new life. And then I walked with that and said, oh, what I have is precious. It's amazing. I'll lose everything, but I won't lose this. I don't want to lose this. But you know what happens when we grow Christians 10 years? It's not that precious anymore to us. Not that it shouldn't be, but it happens to us quite often that we lose this, I'll count it as lost. God's knowing Jesus Christ, it surpasses everything. It says here, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. My life, let me not talk to you, I talk to myself. My life gets watered down sometimes. Does that make sense? It gets mixed. And the precious things in my life is not purely Christ anymore. And God wants to bring us back to that. He wants to show us that. And you know what? Apostles walked around with a big smile. The joy of the Lord was their strength. They attracted people to Christ because of the joy of the Lord. So I'm not preaching this and saying, go out there and die. No, go out there and die. Because the Spirit will become alive in you. And you will attract people to you. People will be drawn to what you have. Because what you have, if you've been saved by Jesus Christ, is the most precious thing in life. God wants us to get back to that. He wants me to get back to that. Because that's when the power starts working in your life again. When the flesh, now I'm ahead of myself, but when the flesh dies, then the Holy Spirit can take over. And then when you talk, you say the same thing, but with another authority. It changes, it happens, because it's the flesh is dead. The Spirit is alive. The Spirit speaks and things happen. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that comes through faith. Let me take the battery besig om te gaan. Verse 9. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 10, very important. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, become like him in death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I'm also challenged by that scripture. They are talking here, that's how I interpret it. They're almost talking, they're not... I guess they were sure of their salvation, but they count it so dearly that they say, I must stay in the faith. I must stay in the faith so that at any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. They had an awe and a... Yes, an awe, that's all I can say, and a fear of God that we sometimes lack. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power. Jankor said last week, he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Power of his resurrection. The power that is in Christ. What do I mean by that? We can trust God. The reason I'm preaching this is because I believe God is promising us something, promising you something. More love, more power, and more of a sound mind. God wants us to move away, not move away. He wants us to operate in power. I asked the first service, is your testimony still? Because irrespective of how small your testimony is of how you got to Christ, you know, don't think that you had to go through a lifestyle like I had to get saved for it to be powerful. Some people just get powerful at 6 years old, get saved when they're 6 years old and they grow in Christ. But is our testimony powerful? If you share your testimony to somebody, does it almost, not shock them, it shouldn't shock them, but does it show them the power of Christ? Maybe, when was the last time we actually shared how we came to Christ? How powerful it is. But what God wants us to have and to communicate to this world, what the world should see in us is this power. The power of his resurrection. The power, the same spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead lives in me and in you, in us. And God, I believe, cannot make his power manifest if he needs to compete with our flesh all the time. Are you with me? So God wants this to die. So that when we talk about we should weigh less, our flesh should die, it should become less. But what God doesn't want us to be like this dried out fruit stuff, you know. He wants the flesh to look like that, but the spirit to be alive and wealthy. Dried fruits. Are you guys still with me? All right. And, yes, let me use this example. Maybe all I'm trying to say is we shouldn't become familiar with God. It's like that story they tell about the candle, the light, the flame. The moth is attracted to it, but the moth will die when he flies into the flame. Is the candle angry with him? No, the candle is not angry. It's just a holiness. Not holy, it's just he needs to know his boundaries. Don't go that far. And the same way with God, I want God to help me to understand his holiness better again. Not to become familiar with him. Is he our friend? Yes, he's our friend. But to count what he's given us as precious. I don't know if I make myself clear. But so that I'm a moth with a good understanding of where I should and shouldn't go. Not into the flame, Don't get burned by His holiness, but I know my distance. I know what I must respect about God. Take that as it is. Ponder upon it. We have to die daily. But I want you to see a picture of a scale. You know, a scale, these old scales, they would tip. They're on an axis in the middle and they tip. And we are in a daily fight. We were talking also, some of the youth guys came forward and said we should pray for them. And I had to tell them, listen, when I just became a Christian, I had to fight the flesh, lust, can I call it that, in my life so that I could look at a woman without bad thoughts. But Scripture says, take captive every thought that rises against Christ and bring it into obedience. So I had to do that in my life. Over and over, and then I overcame it. And that the picture you should see is that it, when I had the scales, it was lopsided, and I had to work at it so that it could just tip the other way. And in the same way, that's what I did. I had to fight that flesh, tell that flesh to die. And after a while, it died, and I had a more pure outlook on life, on women, if I can call it like that. And that's what I want you to see, is there's a constant fight in your life, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but for us to crucify that flesh, crucify the desires of the flesh. I don't want you to focus on the death. I didn't say this in the first service, and I'm sorry I didn't say it. Don't focus on the death of the flesh. Focus on the life of the Spirit. Focus on the promise, on the life that God promises, the abundance that He promises. Yes, okay, so something needs to happen for the Spirit to live, and that is something must die. But don't focus too much on this death stuff. Focus on what He wants to give you. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 31. I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ our Lord, I die every day. Yeah. That, I guess that's never a favorite scripture. But what are the things that, I just said we shouldn't focus on it. But what are the things that God's talking to you? I want you to lay that aside. And you know what? If you are overwhelmed by 40 things or 400 things that you feel you should lay down, there's a good chance that that's not from God. Because God doesn't overwhelm His people. He prepares them. God didn't show me all my sin on day one I got saved. He prepared me. I got rid of one. Then there was some more grace and I was ready for the next one. And I could go on to get rid of them. So, no condemnation. That's what I'm trying to say. Galatians 5 verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. They're on that scale. They're constantly going to fight you, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And those who belong, verse 24, belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's move on. Why am I trying to say this to you? What is the promise? Let's focus on that. 1 John 5 verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. What is born of God overcomes the world. What happens in our lives so many times, and we do it in church with the most amazing motives, but we birth so many things out of the flesh, out of our own will, out of our own thinking, out of our own guilt, out of our own condemnation. So many things happens, gets birthed, ministries, things that you do, things you get involved with, and it is not birthed from the Spirit. And you know, guess what happens to it? It does not overcome. Maybe it's got some fruits for the first 2, 3 months, weeks, whatever it is. But eventually, if that thing is not birthed from God, if that thing has not been birthed out of prayer and God speaking to you and you following what He says, it dies. And it is frustrating. It frustrates the living daylights out of you. Are you with me? And that's the times when we have to, and we also get frustrated as pastors or whatever. Then the focus is on, the church is not involved enough. They're not, where are they? All that nonsense. I don't want to go there. But that's when things, there's been too long stuff that happening in the flesh here. Because if the Spirit would have done it, it would have overcome. Whatever obstacle it brings, it overcomes because it's born of God. Amen. And I don't know what it is. I don't have specific things, but what is in your life that constantly dies? What is the thing that you constantly struggle with in your life? Quentin always says it's very true. But you know, if you, in your marriage, if there's a place in your marriage where you constantly disagree on, guess what? You'll have to do something different. You can't expect, the husband can't expect to approach that thing the same way and expect another outcome. I mean, you've tried it for 6 years now. You get the same outcome every time. Are you stupid or what? You know, maybe you're not hearing from me what you should be doing. Then you get that fresh word from God and he says, listen, husband, all I want you to do is be nice to her or whatever it is. Then it changes. Let me just crucify myself here. Because I can't make an example of my wife. And what did I always say? Don't play the Holy Spirit for your wife. In other words, don't try and tell her what you think God is telling her. Backfires every time. And vice versa. It doesn't work. You just pray. Where am I? Overcome. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Why am I sharing this with you? What I believe God wants to do for us as a church and individually. Remember what Fred said in the beginning of the year, it's the year of rest. Does that mean we're going to do nothing for a year? No. We're resting in God's power, love, power, and a sound mind. I don't know. We're resting in God, and things happen not so much because of our contribution, of what we do, but because He takes over. And then it overcomes. We always talk about we're more than overcomers. But the stuff that you start in your life, if the sin in your stuff, the sin in your life, that stuff doesn't overcome. We need to get closer to God, hear what He says, and run in His will, His perfect will. That's what I believe where God wants us as a church to move into. So even though the word might seem that we have to die to certain things, the promise that God has given us, that of a year of rest in your marriage. Not only a year, hopefully like the rest of your life rest. But that year of rest in your business, in your spiritual walk, that the promise stands. God didn't change His mind. God did not change His mind. All He's saying is, I think something needs to happen just before we get to that. Just something I want to talk to you about. That we need to address in your life. You know, God doesn't cover up issues in our life. I'm going to use this example again. It's a bit of a tough issue, an example. But I read a news article of a young lady that got raped. And she said, now you read the article and you think about it, but she hasn't dealt with this issue. You know, she said she's now better and has gone through therapy and all that stuff. But she says, why am I sharing this? I guess I'll figure out later. Yeah. But that for 2 years, she almost doesn't remember what she did in her life. 2 years gone by. She can't remember what it. She floated through those 2 years. Why? Because she couldn't deal with that issue. That thing overcame her whole life completely. It ruled her whole life because it wasn't dealt with. Do you think God wants us to live like that?
No, he doesn't. So what does it mean that sometimes God wants to go back to pains and things that created pain in your life, and at the right time he wants to go back and scratch, and I want to use scratch it open, but if it's a covered wound, he wants to open it up so that he can get fresh air and can heal properly, because he doesn't want you to walk with that limp. Are you with me? And I believe now is a time like that. Now is a time where God will take you back to some things in your life, and it can be a host of things. I don't know. But where you just take the time and say, Father, okay, you know this is going to hurt, but I trust you. Okay, let's go back. Let's talk about this. Help me. So that you can overcome. You can't walk with that baggage. It's a fake peace. Are you with me? Where am I now? Yes, I read that. Prepare yourself that I want us to, when I'm finished, to break into smaller groups. Now everybody's like they're looking down. To break into smaller groups, and we're not going to force anybody, that's fine. But if you have something, and I want, there's a lot of youth here, so the more senior, spiritual senior people in our church, please divide yourselves so that we, like a mix of people, okay? I want us to talk about, you must, if you feel you can, share something that you believe God is telling you, this must go. If it's too personal, fine, then just say there's something I'm struggling with. Please pray for me. That's what we want in that group. Not for you to expose something you're not comfortable with. If you want to, yes, but a place where you can say, pray for me. Are you with me? Think about it. So I'm talking about what's the aim of this. It's God wants us to get to a place of power where we overcome, where we're overcomers in our own lives, where we're not held back by previous pains in our lives. The second thing I believe he wants to do in my life specifically is Matthew 9:36. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus Christ was compelled by compassion. Jesus Christ was almost like a sponge that couldn't help it, but he would suck up pain. If you walk past pain, he couldn't let it go. He couldn't. He's a sponge. There's water. And as Christians, I just want to get back to the place more in tune with the Holy Spirit, where I'm not like a saturated sponge. I can walk past some hurt. Because our lives can be, you know, maybe if you're older, my life can be very comfortable. It is comfortable. It should be comfortable. But it's comfortable is probably not wrong. But it's so easy for me to build these fences around me and just pretend that I didn't see that. It's like Fred said, you know, church becomes complicated. If you really want to know about certain people's issues, you either have to decide, I'm not going there. Or it's like, what do we do now? This is complicated. How are we going to help that person? How are we going to get through this? But you know what? The Christ that I serve gets rid of addictions, heals people, delivers people. He's not a whimsy-pamsy God. He's a God that has power. He's a God that calls drug addicts from the street. He's a God that calls people with marriage problems. He's a God that wants to deliver, but his agents, his vehicles on earth is us. And we have to walk with the same spongy heart that God or Jesus Christ walked on earth. But we don't always have that. I'm the first one to confess it. I just want a feeling that maybe these things that need to die in me is so that the compassion can come back. Ezekiel 36:26. And I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I like it when God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Because if he says that I'll let you decide what you want to do, then I'm like, but you surely know me by now, God. I don't always make the right decisions. But what he's speaking to, humble people saying, Lord, we don't know, we don't know, but we see the issues in our lives, but we humbly come before you and say, please change us. And he says, I will change you. I will make you walk in my statutes. And that is what God is saying to humble people here this morning. And that's what I said, prepare your heart always to be at a place where you understand that you only know in part. Your final deliverance will only come when Christ comes back. Because then it's always easy for us to humbly come to him and say, yes, I need to change. And then he says, I will. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I have given to your fathers and you shall be my people and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. God's intention for you is this. God didn't like his people to go through those years of suffering. He said, just humble yourselves. I'll give you a new heart and then I'll bless you. It's never my heart for you to go through that. I also want to say, I'm not going to read those scriptures now, but in Acts 7, it talks about Stephen, Stephanus in Afrikaans. It talks about Stephen that got stoned. But I'm just using an example. I don't know if I'll confuse you. Hopefully not. But Fred explained it like this one time. Is that Stephen was crucified, yes. But you'll read the scriptures. I can read a couple of them to you. How he reacted. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was prepared. God prepared Stephen for whatever he had to go through. What I'm trying to say to you is, God will, whatever steps you have to take, whatever you have to die to, it will be painful because it's a flesh that needs to die, a part of your flesh, so that the Spirit can come to life, so that the Spirit can take over in your life. But it will never feel to you that it is too much because God will prepare you. God prepared Stephen for that. And Stephen could at that time say, like Jesus, Lord, I don't want to be crucified, but if it's your will, I'll do it. And then God helped him and he said, okay, I'll do it. Stephen the same. God prepared him. Whatever you need to go through, God will prepare you for it. You just need a humble heart. Whatever it is, he'll prepare you. And he won't overwhelm you with things that you can't overcome. Am I saying it will be easy? No. But will you be able to overcome it? Sometimes people come to me and say, but do I have any faith? What if God didn't give me faith? Scripture says, I've given each one a measure of faith. And just after that, it says, even if you have faith like a mustard seed, that seed can grow and become a tree. What is God trying to say is that I just need that little bit that I've given you. And I've given everybody a little bit. I didn't create people that can't respond to me. I didn't create people that can't be helped. Amen. I want us to just bow our heads and then, yes, let's first do that. We're going to break into groups after this and we're just going to talk for a while, but if I'm finished here now with praying, then the service is finished. Whenever your group is finished, you may go. But I just want us to, as our heads are bowed, if you're here this morning and you've never experienced that scripture I read in the beginning, you counted it all as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never realized that you need to give your life to Christ. You've never realized that you need to get saved, that you that there's a sinful, you have a sinful nature that you can't get rid of unless you accept the gift that Jesus Christ has came to give us. If you've never given your life to Christ and you want to do that, you sense in your spirit that God is calling and saying, but I've died for you. I don't need you, but I want you to come to me. I want you to give you life and life in abundance. But you know that you've never done that. Maybe you've been religious, you've gone to church, maybe you've come to our church a couple of times, but you don't have this relationship, you don't have this precious thing that you hang on to, that salvation that is so precious, but you want to have it. If you, that person, and you want to give your life to God this morning, and you're asking Him to come and change it radically, change it around, then I want you to raise your hand and show me that it's you. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Also one hand here in front. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you. Pray that you will bless us. Pray that you will help us now as we're going to break into groups, Father, just to start something in our spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a specific thing you need to share now. You can't put your finger on it, but you feel that, you feel the Spirit is doing something in your life. I just bless everyone here, and specifically those people, Lord, that you will help us prepare our hearts for greater things to come, Lord, for your Spirit to work through us, for your Spirit to manifest in this church, Lord God, for people to come to salvation radically, for people to be delivered radically. And God is saying, some of you, you're sitting out there and you think you're like a little nothing in God's kingdom, but He's saying, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to use you soon. Just prepare your heart for me to use you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so break into groups. Talk about this when you're finished.